I invite you to turn your Bibles this morning. We are back in the series of Heaven and Hell this morning. And this morning, our question that we're going to address and we're going to answer is, what happened to Satan's fall from heaven? As we lead into the series, that's going to get a little bit, I'll just say it this way, it's going to get darker the next few Sundays, all right? We're going to learn about hell at a deeper level and what the Bible says about this place. And we're going to start here this morning. And I'm going to bring it back, don't worry. Because in the end, it's still all about Jesus Christ, right? And that's what we're going to learn about today. So turn with me in the book of Isaiah. And this is a set of verses from Isaiah is about Babylon and its leadership, but yet it speaks to the fall of Satan out of heaven. Ezekiel will address the king of Tyre, his fall, but it also speaks of Satan. And so we get to learn about that this morning as well. So beginning in Verse 12, Isaiah chapter 14. Let me find my spot. Excuse me, verse 4. We're going to begin at verse 12, Isaiah chapter 14. How you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You've been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. All right? Now let's go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28. And we're going to begin at verse 12 as well, through 18. I'm going to give you just a moment to find that. I'm about on page 1333, Ezekiel 28. This is a little bit more defined here. You're going to get some depth in the message here, but pay close attention to what I read here of the fall of Satan. All right? Son of man, take up a lament concerning the king of Tyre and say to him, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you, carnelian, chrysolite, and emerald, topaz, onyx, and jasper, lapis lazuli, turquoise, and beryl. Your settings and mountings were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared. You were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God. I expelled you, guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings. By your many sins and dishonest trade, you have desecrated your sanctuary. So I made a fire come from out of you, and it consumed you. And I reduced you to ashes on the ground, in the sight of all who were watching. There's a lot going on in those set of verses there. Now turn with me to the book of Luke, New Testament, chapter 10, verse 18. Now let me set the stage for you just a little bit here. You're going to get one verse. These are Jesus' words speaking here. And Jesus, remember, the Trinity was there at creation. And when you get into the message, you're going to hear, you know, when were the angels created and how does that look? And so I want you to realize that at this point, Jesus is with God the Father in heaven with the Holy Spirit before creation. And then Jesus says this verse. Here is what he says. Verse 18. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, is what he said. So that's when that happened. Now, I'm going to read two more verses this morning because they're so good for us to hear. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven as believers in Jesus Christ. And so rejoice in that today because we're going to learn about the evil one. And as we point to Jesus Christ, let us pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we've read from your word, Lord, the prophets of Isaiah and Ezekiel, and Lord, in Jesus' own words about our enemy that we face every day in our lives. Lord, I pray that you bring your word to life here. Lord, may this be a word also of hope and of blessing and of understanding of who the evil one is, Lord. We pray for our souls today, Lord, that we can learn in a new way. May you open our minds and hearts to receive your teaching. Lord, may these words be yours and not mine. In Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. Now, I'm going to go back in history here a little bit this morning. Some of you will remember this day. I was not alive when this day happened, but you learned about it in school. John F. Kennedy, the 35th President of the United States of America, was assassinated as he rode in a motorcade in Dallas, Texas on November 22, 1963. Just for the fun of it, how many of you were alive or remember that day? Quite a few of you remember that day. All right, now let me just explain some things to you this morning. His accused killer was Lee Harvey Oswald, who was later shot and killed by a person by the name of Jack Ruby, a distraught Dallas nightclub owner. Now, there are several theories around the thought of Oswald, that he was hired by the Russian government, that he had something to do with the country of Cuba, or maybe that the mafia was involved in some way. And so that brings us to the question, what actually happened on that day? Right? We think of that, don't we? And I want you to think about some things in your life. There are some things that go on in our life that sometimes we don't fully understand, and we ask ourselves the same question, what actually happened? Because sometimes we don't fully understand something that's going on in our life. And so I want to ask the same question about Satan this morning as it relates to his fall from heaven. What happened? And that's what you're going to learn about this morning. Satan, he's not imaginary. He isn't something that people dreamed up to try to describe or to blame evil on, even though he's created the evil in the world. He is a real spirit created by God, an enemy of God. And so as we continue in our series of Heaven and Hell, we're going to answer that question this morning. What happened with Satan's fall? What was that whole process? What did it look like? What was involved? And so we're going to answer the four questions that you see on the screen this morning. If you have an outline with you, you're going to be able to see this come in order. But here they are. Where did he come from? How did he fall away from God's grace? Why was he cast out of heaven? And when was Satan cast out of heaven? Those are the four questions we're going to look at this morning. And we're going to base that on Isaiah and the book of Ezekiel, which you read this morning. And I'm going to give you a few other verses to write down and to look at as well today. So the two passages that I read you earlier, they refer specifically to the kings of Babylon and Tyre. But there are many Bible scholars that believe that this also describes the fall of Satan from heaven. And so that's what we get to learn this morning. So our first question is where, let me get to the next slide, where did Satan come from? The Bible doesn't give us an exact detailed outline of the account of Satan's origin, but it does indicate that Satan originally was one of God's angels created by God to carry out his will. He's a created angel, all right? And if you notice in your reading, you might have seen a word that you don't understand. The Bible specifically describes Satan as a cherub angel. And so you need to know some things about what is a cherub angel. A cherub angel, their main purpose is to serve God, to praise him, to magnify him, to protect his holiness. They are the closest angels to God the Father in heaven. They just imagine this in your mind. Now, I can't say this for sure, but I'm going to give you this picture. If God's on the throne in heaven, the cherub angels are right around the foot of the Father, around the throne. And their job is to sing praise and to glorify God the Father. Their job is also to protect God the Father from evil. No sin shall come in the presence of God the Father. Now, you might be asking, oh, what happened to Satan? What went on? And that's a sermon for another day. All right? But the Bible specifically explains that Satan is a cherub angel. And so the cherub angel is one of God's closest angels to him. And we read that Satan became what in his life? And sometimes we might even drift there. He became proud of who he was. Pride entered into this angel. And if you look at, if you have your Bible open with me this morning, Isaiah 14, verse 13 to 14, you can follow along. But here's the short sense of it. You said in your heart, I will make myself like the Most High. Right? Did you notice how beautiful that he was in the book of Ezekiel? How he was the stones that were described of his beauty, the things that were said about him in Scripture as well this morning. But Satan rebelled against God and it failed. God would not put up with it. And he was cast out of heaven. Now Satan and those who followed him are fallen angels. No longer part of God's heavenly army, but separated from heaven's glory forever. And let me throw a couple verses at you this morning. One is on the bottom of the screen. Comes from the book of Jude, towards the end of the New Testament, verse 6 out of chapter 1. And here is what it says. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their proper dwelling, these he has kept in darkness. And then if you look further into the scripture, Revelation 12, verse 4, which is in the kind of the tan-colored box there this morning, it might be a little bit hard for you to read, but I'm going to read it to you. And I want you to look at this as, picture this. So the dragon is a sign of Satan, right, in the world, who destroys and just fights against God and everything. And listen to what this verse says. And the angels who did not keep their positions, its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to earth. It's the belief that when Satan was cast out of heaven by God the Father, that one third of the angels went with Satan to earth. And we call them, the Bible describes them as demons today. And they do Satan's work. They do his bidding. They're the ones that tempt you. They're the ones that create the evilness in the world that you and I live in today. And I think some of the stuff that we see going on in our world today, the crazy things, the school shootings and mall shootings and all these different kind of things that happen in our world, I truly believe is the evilness of Satan's work. Firsthand, you're seeing it play out. And I believe that we are in more of a spiritual warfare in this world than that we've ever been before that the world has ever seen. This is Satan's work. You see it. You experience it. It is terrible. One third of the angels were cast out of heaven when Satan fell to earth. The Bible says that our job as believers in Jesus Christ is to resist the devil and he will flee from you. Right? That's your job. James 4, verse 7 says that. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you are to resist the temptation. You are to get away from it. In fact, you are to tell Satan just to get out of your life. Right? He is your enemy. And he will do everything he can to keep you from God the Father in your life. Physically, spiritually, mentally, your thoughts, your temptations, the thing that he might throw your way that might try to distract you, he'll use everything he can to pull you away from God the Father. That's all he wants, is to destroy you. And your job is to flee from that. So let's move to our next question. Why did Satan fall from heaven? Right? And the short answer is because of pride entered his heart. He desired to be God, not to be a servant of God. Now, if you are in your Bible this morning and you turn with me back to the book of Isaiah, and if you're not, scratch some notes down, but in those three or four verses in Isaiah 14, five times you'll see the statement, I will, all right? I will ascend, I will raise, I will sit enthroned, I will ascend again, I will make myself the Most High. Right? How many of you seen the word pride, and in the middle they pull out the word I? Right? You're familiar with that? This is exactly what's going on in Satan's heart. He's such a beautiful angel. He thinks he's got it all figured out. He's got power. He's got majesty. He's one of the most beautiful created angels that God created. And pride entered his life, and he thought that he was better than God the Father. And that's where sin entered into Satan. He thought nothing could touch him, even God, his creator. And then jump with me to creation. That is what Satan tempted Adam and Eve with in the Garden of Eden. If you have your Bible with you, turn to Genesis chapter 3 this morning with me. I'm going to just read something with you. I'm going to go there with you as well this morning. I want you to see something in here. Genesis chapter 3 is entitled The Fall. We're just going to read the first 5 verses. All right? Now the serpent, Satan, a fallen angel, was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will certainly not die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And they took the fruit, and they ate, and they disobeyed God. Now, they didn't die physically, but they died spiritually on that day. That's what Satan did. That's exactly what Satan wants to do with your life. He doesn't care about your physical life because he knows that will come to an end. All of us will die at some point unless Jesus returns. But he wants you to die spiritually, that you will not be with God the Father in heaven. That's his goal. That's why he's here on earth. Think about that for a moment. You and I must be careful. What was Satan's sin? Pride. You and I must be careful that we don't let pride come into our hearts, that we think that we're so good that we don't need God, that we think that we're better than the next person sitting next to us, that we don't have as much sin. Because every one of us carries sin, and you can't get away from it. You're not a better sinner than the sinner next to you. And if that's your thought, then pride has just entered. It's exactly where Satan wants you to be. That's why you need Jesus Christ in your life. He's got to remove that sin. He's got to remove that pride out of your heart. That's why you need to live a humble life, is what he says. To honor God the Father in heaven. To be a follower of Jesus Christ. And so you and I must be careful of Satan's ways in our life. If you take anything home this morning, you need to take what I just told you home with you. Because that's the bottom line of your life and where you will spend it the rest of your life. Let's move on to the next question this morning. How did Satan fall from heaven? And actually, fall is not a good word. All right? A better description would be that Satan was cast out of heaven by God the Father. And let me give you some biblical things to back that up. Isaiah 14, verse 15. "But you are brought down to the realm of the dead, to the depths of the pit." Now, the realm of the dead, if you go back and you look at that in the Hebrew, it is Sheol. It is a temporary place, right? We learned about that a few weeks ago. Sheol is a temporary hell. Someday the eternal hell, and Satan will be judged when Jesus returns. And so we know where he lives, and he moves about the earth today. We're aware of that. But Satan sits in a temporary hell, and one day Jesus will return, and he will cast Satan in the eternal pit of fire, into hell, where he'll remain forever. And you and I don't need to put up with him anymore in our life once that day comes. Amen to that? You're free of all that stuff that you and I deal with today. I can't describe that to you and what that will look like and how you will feel when that day comes when you cross over into eternity in the presence of Jesus Christ. Ezekiel 28 does even a better job. You know, I get this vision that God said, "You think you're mighty, but just you don't understand me." And he says these words, "I drove you from disgrace. I expelled you." Anybody been expelled in school? Maybe don't want to raise your hand for this one. All right? Sometimes you got in-school suspension, and you had to sit in the principal's office in this little desk, and they brought your dinner to you, and you just sat there, right? You were totally alone. It's a little glimpse of what hell will be like. You'll be expelled. God says, "I expelled you, Satan. You're alone." In the end, Jesus wins. And then he goes on to say, "I threw you to earth, and I made a spectacle out of you before kings." The mighty hand of God the Father, who sits on the throne in heaven, is very much control of the world that you and I live in today. No matter the evil things that we see or we experience, God still sits on the throne in heaven. So when did Satan get cast out of heaven? This is always a good theological question to debate and to think about this morning. So we had the passages of Isaiah and Ezekiel. They describe why and how he's thrown out of heaven. But they do not say when he was thrown out of heaven. And so we're going to answer that this morning. And we see that Jesus spoke in Luke 10 verse 18. "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." I mean, that quick. Right? Lightning from heaven. He was cast out of heaven. And so we also know that the angels were created before the earth. Job 3, I believe I got that on the screen in the purple box for you this morning. Excuse me. Job 38 verses 4 through 7. And if you want to follow along in your Bible this morning, I'm going to give you just a minute to flip to Job 38 4 verse 7. And then we're going to describe to you, we're going to talk from a biblical perspective of when did this actually take place. Because we get to learn that here this morning. I got it in my notes here, and I'm going to read it to you this morning. And here's what it says. Now, God is speaking, and remember, this comes out of the book of Job. And this is what he says about creation. "Were you there when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footing set, or who laid its cornerstone?" And so God's creating, we get this picture, the Trinity's creating, right, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then while God's creating, he says this, "While the morning stars sang together and the angels shouted for joy." See, the angels, the morning stars, the cherubims, they've already been created before the creation of the earth. They're already there. Now, I don't know when, but they're there. And we see that in the book of Job. And then we read in chapter 3 of the book of Genesis that he is tempted in the garden. So we know that somewhere between the creation of the earth and Adam and Eve's fall, that Satan was cast out of heaven. And I don't know what that time frame looks like, by the way. We don't get that information. Was it several years? Was it one day? I don't know. But we don't need to worry about that. So Satan's fall came somewhere after the angels were created and before he tempted Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. How many for you today, I want you to give me a show of hands. How many of you today learned something new that you never heard before that about Satan and when he was created and how he fell? And just a couple of you did? That's good because that means the rest of you know it, right? So I'm glad because you need to know that. But this is what it's looking at. And this is going to set the stage for the next few weeks when we get more in the pit of hell and what that looks like. How did this come about? All part of God's plan of salvation for you and I. But here's what I want to share with you this morning. I don't want to end on that note. Satan is a defeated foe. You need to realize that today as a believer in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ conquered death on the cross. He shed his blood. He died for you and I. For our sins were forgiven. He crushed the serpent's head, as Genesis speaks about. One day he will kill Satan. He'll be cast in the eternal pit of fire. And then it goes on to what I shared with you this morning. I read just a little bit more out of chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. Here's verse 19. This is after he says, I've seen Satan fall from heaven like lightning. And then he says this, I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome the power of the enemy, Satan. Nothing will harm you. Now, I want you to understand one thing about that this morning. He is not saying to you, nothing will harm you physically if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. You might be abused, you might be battered, you might be beaten, whatever it might be for your faith. But God says, if you're going to follow me to the very end, you are protected spiritually forever. Guaranteed eternal life in heaven if you give your life to Jesus Christ. That's the good news that we hang on to. I can't guarantee that you're going to live in a safe world and be a follower of Jesus Christ. I can almost tell you that you're going to endure some kind of suffering for being a follower of Jesus Christ. Expect it to come. And then here's the flip side to that. You know, if you're not enduring and you're not being persecuted, then you need to wonder, is my faith strong enough to be walking like that? Am I not being persecuted? Am I no threat to Satan in your faith walk? Christ has won the battle. It's over. It's done. Your job is just to follow along. Flee from sin. Flee from his ways. Repent. Ask for forgiveness. That's what it's about. You know, over the course of giving my life to Christ and following him deeper and deeper, one of the things that Dory and I have often come across, and when you're in ministry, Satan loves to attack at those hard places. One of the things that he's always attacked us on is he loves to play and mess around with our kids, our children. And we've had to pray over them several times. And Dory is, I need to be honest with you, Dory's better at this than I am. Because she can detect it when we're under spiritual attack. When God's trying when Satan's trying to get his claws in us and he's trying to derail us as a family or in ministry, whatever it might be. And Dory, you see her signal goes up. She goes, we need to pray Satan out of this house. We need to pray that Satan leaves our boys alone. We need to pray that he stays out of our school system. We need to pray that he stays out of our Sunday school classes. All those types of things need to go on. And get this, she says, and I believe and I've seen it, you need to speak that out loud. Satan, get out of my house. Satan, get away from our boys in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you haven't done that yet, there will come a day when you will, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Because he will work you over if you're a threat to God, or excuse me, to Satan. He will come at you like you wouldn't believe. And maybe some of you as families, you've experienced that in your old children. But the closer you get to God, some of you are making profession of faith and some of you are joining the church and stuff like that. And I always want to tell you, young people and even old people, the closer you get to God, the more of a threat you are to the world that you live in, the harder Satan's going to work on you. And when you give your life to Christ, it's not going to be easy. But God says, I'll be right by your side. And I'll walk with you the entire way. I'll give you what you need to live this life. Knowing that it's not going to be easy. You need to be aware. I need to be aware of Satan's schemes. Romans 5, verse 6. I just want to end with this verse. It's not on the screen, but it says this. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time. Isn't that so true? How many times have you been there and you prayed and you prayed and you prayed and Christ comes at the right time and you have peace about whatever you're going through and you know that everything's going to be okay? Doesn't mean that the road's not bumpy. Doesn't mean that there's going to be an obstacle or two in the way. But you and I are utterly helpless without Christ. So here's my question I have for you this morning as you leave here. Are you on Christ's side? Where's your faith? How's your journey going? What's your relationship look like? So then I come back to the question, what happened? And this is what happened. Christ died for your sins. Rejoice with that today. It's not so fun to learn about Satan and his ways, but there's good things to be praiseworthy of today. Right, people of God? Yeah, that's what it's about. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us your word in Scripture that talks about Satan and the ways that he comes at us in the life that we live today. We thank you that you've given us your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. Lord, who now reigns with you in heaven. Lord, he walked this earth. Lord, he was tempted by Satan himself while he walked on this earth, and he resisted. Lord, we thank you for what he's done on the cross for our sins. Lord, may we be a humble people. Lord, may we see that, Lord, salvation comes only through your Son. Lord, may you fill us with your Spirit today. May we rejoice in the good news of the gospel. Lord, that we are forgiven when we ask. Lord, that we live eternally with you. Lord, may we leave here today. And may we leave those burdens that we are carrying around with us that weigh us down today. And Satan reminds us so often of how broken we are and how unworthy we are to even be followers of you. But we know those are lies. And so, Lord, may your Spirit lift us up today, and may we go out and may we live in the world that you call us to live in. May we be a light in the dark places. And may we shine for Jesus Christ, in whom I pray today. Amen.